Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
We went north of the border for this weekend, our first trip up into Canada. And, you know, they had a close game one. They lost game two in a close battle. They're in another close battle in game three. I think the Toronto Blue Jays are a formidable opponent. The AL East is tough. What are your thoughts on those baseball, Toronto Blue Jays, the whole bit here?
Those loyal listeners that were with us for our spring training preview will remember that I was pretty high on this Toronto Blue Jays team coming into the season. And I think they are pretty much what I thought they would be, or what we thought they would be. There's a couple of issues with it that they've experienced this year. They're in the top five in all of baseball and top two in the American League for home runs allowed. They and the Rays are 1-2 in this. And so essentially, they haven't gotten the starting pitching they've wanted. Their bullpen's pretty good. It's not Detroit Tigers good. And their hitting is formidable. Bo Bichette seems like it's the Bo Bichette of two, three seasons ago. I think, you know, extending Vlad Guerrero Jr. to that monster deal put him at ease. And I think it also sent a message to their entire organization that they're not going to allow the Blue Jays to be a feeder system to other, I don't want to say bigger market, because Toronto's a huge market. It's the largest city in Canada and, you know, a top five market in all of North America. So that being said, it's not the market size. It's always been the weakness of the Canadian dollar versus that of the U.S. dollar. But I'm happy to say that the Blue Jays are finally coming to the table. They're playing ball and they're signing their stars. And I think that's healthy overall for baseball. And I think you look at a day like today when there is 40,000 fans in the Rogers Center to witness the Blue Jays playing the Detroit Tigers. And I want to give a caveat on that. That is not solely because of the game today. I think there's an unpalpable nervous anxiety. This is an energy, Chet. This is anxiety in Toronto. It is first and foremost a Maple Leafs town. They are playing a game seven, a stone's throw, if you would, or a driver. And I think fans are just getting themselves, getting a couple Molsons, getting a couple Labatt in them, and getting ready for the main attraction, which is going to be Panthers Maple Leafs tonight. But those are kind of my overall underlying thoughts. The Blue Jays are what I think we thought they'd be. I find it weird that Major League Baseball scheduled this as part of their rivalry weekend. So if you look around, you know, you've got all sorts of rivalry games going on. You know, Yankees Mets being, you know, probably the 1A or, you know, the headliner of this. However, I did a deep dive into this. And then, of course, our illustrious, you know, radio hosts, Dan Dickerson and Dan Petrie and Jason Benetti all provided a lot of color commentary on how great of a rivalry Blue Jays Tigers was in the late 80s, early 90s. Oh, yeah. And so I would love, given that they're 3.5-4 hours apart, these two cities, if meaningful baseball was played. So those are my thoughts. And I know you've got a good question for me upcoming.
You know, a couple things here, first and foremost. Number one, the Blue Jays are, they're important to baseball. Baseball north of the border, you know, when Montreal lost their team, I was like, oh boy. I'm like, you know, there's something about having baseball in Canada and having it a North American, MLB being a North American league, that is important. I like seeing the Blue Jays as a good team. They aren't, you know, if you had to ask me, hey, if we could get rid of some teams, the Blue Jays are not a team I want to get rid of. They're as baseball can be. I would definitely boot the Rays or the Marlins or one of these expansion clubs over the last 30 years out before I'd send the Blue Jays packing. I like having a Canadian Major League Baseball team out there. Now, one of the things about having a Canadian Major League Baseball team is we have some interesting food offerings. What are your thoughts? Give me your thoughts. What does poutine do for you? How do you take your poutine, Bill?
I'm a big fan. I prefer my gravy to be, you know, it's a beef gravy. Well, let's take a step back. I'm pretty sure our listeners will all know what poutine is, but for the uninitiated,
I feel like we should describe it.
Yeah, it's widely considered Quebec, Canada, you know, one of the provinces.
It's a French. Yeah, it's a French.
Well, it originated there, yeah. And it's a diner food made of French fries, typically that are fried twice. And the best versions you can get are typically fried in some type of beer batter. And then that is then topped with a somewhat thin beef gravy. So think not Thanksgiving, that's turkey gravy, but and thick. Think more like your grandma or your mom put together like a roast dinner, but did it a 6 out of 10, like a 5.5 out of 10. That's the gravy that we're talking about. And then
it's a brothy gravy.
Exactly. Exactly. It may come from a can and I don't have an issue with it. That being said, the coup de grace of poutine is cheese curds, and the curds melt when the gravy is put on top of them. So they've got
the key.
That's the essence beneath them. And then they're just sandwiched between liquid gold, you know, and hot fries, you know, directly from the fryer, twice fried, you know, in some type of beer batter and, you know, hot oil. And it is not for the faint of heart. It is not for those that maybe have heart issues. It's heavily caloric. It's not good for you, but sure is delicious. My poutine story for you is I took the family to Montreal. We went on a family trip to Montreal and Quebec City, and we were at a Montreal Canadiens game because we had heard that the steamies that are served at the Bell Center are the best hot dogs you can find. I would like to report that you and I, if we ever get into a hockey broadcast, need to visit there because it's your bare naked dog steamed in one of those steam containers, and they pull it out with tongs and hand it to you, and it almost burns your hand when you order it from the concession stand. And they serve them naked. The bun is, you know, partially
as they should.
The dog itself. So I was talking to a vendor who said, "What do you think?" You know, I told them our whole story, you know, family coming in, we had to try the steamies. And he goes, "If you think this is good, you need to go to the Montreal Pool Hall. It's the best." I was like, "Okay, that's good. All right." You know, I jotted it down. And a couple other people sitting next to us, speaking beautiful French, told me that the Montreal Pool Hall is the place to go. And Grady was really excited. Grady's our 16-year-old son, to have poutine in Canada and wanted to have the best. So after the game, we headed into an Uber and went to the Montreal Pool Hall. The food absolutely delivered, and the steamies there were nothing short of amazing. The fries were triple cooked, almost like a British ship, heavily salted with like a proprietary seasoning salt. And then the key is, they say you have to be no more than a one day away from a farm that makes cheese curds. And we know that, you know, the old nursery rhyme, curds and whey.
Well, hold curds on a second. There's a limit on the cheese on the days away from a farm for the cheese curds. Is that a freshness thing?
It's a freshness thing. And
oh my gosh,
Quebec connoisseurs or Canadian connoisseurs of poutine will say that if you are more than an hour away from your source of curds, forget about it. Nothing good can happen with
this. That's incredible.
That you're cheating. So we go in, before we go in, I notice that all of a sudden we're in the part of Montreal that we have not visited, and this is our last night, and we've pretty much explored every nook and cranny. So I asked the Uber driver why this hadn't been on any bike tour, any train stops, you know. He goes, "Well, we're in the red light district."
Red light district poutine. A lot of people may take that a different way.
Exactly. However, the poutine was delicious. Again, triple baked fries or triple, you know, cooked fries, fresh curds.
Kind of reminds me of like a French bar food is basically what we're looking at there.
I think
if the French
just
had
about
bar food.
If they did, you would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it took Canadians to make a French bar food, but that's essentially what I kind of associate it to.
So that's the funny part of it is, you know, me taking a stranger's recommendation or a few strangers.
That's incredible.
And taking the family to the Montreal Pool Hall, which was full of unsavory characters, mainly just drunk people trying to soak up the alcohol. But yeah, there was definitely solicitations going on.
In search of real poutine. You were in search of real poutine. You do what you have to do to find the real poutine. That is what the, I mean, look.
If you've got cash burning a hole in your pocket, you could do worse than going to the Montreal Red Light District or one of the gentlemen clubs and spending it on poutine.
Yeah, one of the worst things I've ever watched somebody do is eat poutine with their hands instead of with a utensil. This is by the way, that's a red flag. You eat it with a fork. You do not eat poutine with your fingers.
Was it a stranger or was it someone that you knew?
No, I watched a guy from across. We have a local spot here that's a burger joint that serves poutine. It's lovely. It's fantastic. They do a great job of it. And we've got Wisconsin cheese curds out off the flank. So it's not like, I don't know that we're an hour away from our cheese curd source, but we're pretty close. Well, and every time I go there, I try to grab the poutine as a side. And I watch this gentleman eat the poutine with his fingers. And I'm going, my Lord, that is the sloppiest. It's just disgusting. Grab a fork. It's made to be a sloppy meal. These aren't chili fries. Okay. These aren't chili fries. Poutine would be a delicacy in comparison to a chili fry. The gravy
it's much better than a chili fry.
Provides so much more flavor. The cheese curds, like you said, the gravy melts the cheese curds. That's the entire utility of the gravy on this stuff, outside of just providing great flavor. They're there to melt the cheese curds down just right. You don't want them sloppy melted. You don't want them melted like you stuck them in a microwave. You want the curd to still have some consistency, but you just want it to melt slightly over the fry. At any rate, excellent story. Really good breakdown on poutine. That was incredible. I learned a few things about poutine from you there. I had no idea about the double, triple fry situation going on. I did not know that the cheese curds needed to be sourced from an hour or less away. That's like five-star poutine, if you ask me. At any rate, excellent review. I think we need to get onto the games here and discuss what we saw in Toronto on a baseball side of things. We'll save the food stuff we may need to do a food podcast. I don't know. Some sort of a ballpark food podcast, maybe. But let's jump over to game one. Tigers win. It's a close one. It's a 5-4 game. It's probably closer than it needed to be. Tigers got out to a 4-0 lead. And then, of course, the sixth inning rolls around. Your guy, Jack Flaherty, and hold your thoughts because I'm going to ask you a question about this here in a couple of minutes, pitched a nice game. He kind of had a little comeback. Kerry Carpenter, 2-for-5. Gleyber Torres, 2-for-5. Colt Keith, 1-for-3. Like to see Colt Keith keep hitting. He's not quite there yet, but he's getting there. Riley Green, 2-for-4. He's really starting to put it on now. Torque went 0-for-3. McKinstry had a hit. Dingler had another hit. Dingler, I have some thoughts about Dingler. I'm going to wait to pronounce him as one of the best catchers, or at least potentially best catchers we've had in quite some time. But he is hitting the ball quite well and doing a decent job behind the plate. Likewise, I'm very excited about Dingler right now. Baez gets another hit, batting over 300. Holy cow. Javier in the rare air of Toronto now, not Colorado, but in the rare air of Toronto, in the Canadian air, he's still doing it. What I want to pick on here, we're going to talk about the pitching. You said Flaherty was going to have a great outing. We bet some beer on it. I owe you some Labatt. What made you think this was going to be his outing? Was it just due?
Jack Flaherty goes as his fastball goes, and he was just having location troubles the last two outings. He's also suffered what I would consider unfortunate luck in terms of throwing pitches that typically aren't to that particular batter, something that that batter would tee off on or have good exit velocity. And sure enough, you know, a couple of the solo dingers he gave up were just pitches that you could tell the second it left his hand, he knew it was going to be a problem. That all being said, that feeling, but he's a good pitcher. Sure. And I thought if he could find that fastball again, which he did Friday night, and he did exactly what we needed Jack Flaherty to do yet again, which is eat innings, preserve the bullpen, and get the Tigers a 5-4 win. The only other thing I'd add is that Riley Green had 3 RBIs, and Riley Green is raking right now, which is awesome to see. Similar to you, I need to still see more consistency from Colt Keith. Outside of that, I pretty much love this lineup. When Dingler's in it, when McKinstry's in it, you know, we've given kudos and bouquets to Torres and Carpenter and Torque. So those will continue. That's basically, did I answer your question though on the assessor? I mean, he goes,
yeah, you did. You nailed it. You nailed it. He was kind of due for a game there too. I get it. I mean, I went against him because I was bitter on him last week, and I probably lost a 6-pack of Labatt for that one. Riley, Zach, and Baez all homered in that game. I want to touch on Javi at the end of the show here because I got more kudos to roll out for him.
One thing about Javi, and we'll get to it when we talk about today's game, he's been staying with family and eating really well. Jose Berrios, today's pitcher, is his brother-in-law. So he has his sister and mom cooking for him. So, and the whole team.
So this is like a home game.
I'll give you more on this when we do our wrap.
So game 2, we had a close one. Minimal offense. Ended up being a 2-1 game. Toronto took it. It was close in the ninth. They pulled it out. Malloy 0-for-3. Sweeney was an 0-for-1 in a pinch hit effort. The only guys getting hits were Torque, Colt, and Glaber. Nito got a hit likewise. Torque got a homer. That was our run, was a solo shot from Torque. So this game, I mean, Eric Lauer, it was almost like a bullpen game. Eric Lauer came on, pitched 3 innings for Toronto, gave up the home run. Yariel Rodriguez got 2 innings. Brandon Little got an inning. Chad Green got an inning. Yimi Garcia got an inning. And Jeff Hoffman gets an inning to close it out. And I honestly, this is sort of the tail of the tape for the Blue Jays, or one of the things that I think their struggle that they're having. They don't have the pitching that the Tigers have, to be dead honest with you. They just don't.
They do not.
But they ham and egg this thing together. We couldn't do a thing with this, you know, starter by default is what it looked like with Lauer for the most part. He gets to throw 40 pitches and 3 innings worth of work. Reese Olson, on the other hand, hard luck. 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Dominant effort by Reese. Deserved a heck of a lot better than what he got from the offense. Bo Brisky came in, got a third of an inning, and had 2 walks. Bo, kind of rough there. Tyler Holton came on, did an inning, gave up the tying run in the eighth. And then Will Vest comes on, gets 0.2 innings, gives up a hit, gets a K. And Hanafy gave up the game-winning run for the Blue Jays in the ninth. And it was Ernie Clement. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you don't let Bichette damage you too much. You don't let Vlad damage you too much. Varsho is their number 3 hitter. He's a pretty good player, but not great. But then you let Ernie Clement get it. So it's kind of like, okay, we didn't have a great offensive game. We just sort of one of those where we stalled out and didn't perform on the offensive side of the ball. Love seeing Reese Olson pitch. If you could, and what are your thoughts on this? If you could give an overview of our pen right now, because we've shown some chinks in the armor here, okay? What are your thoughts? Is this kind of one of those games where you just chalk it up as, hey, the offense went dry and everybody did fine, walk away? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you're not going to win many games when you score a run, period.
Right.
And I do not have any concerns on the bullpen as a whole. I do have concerns with certain individuals.
They're going to give up a run every once in a while.
Yeah. Bo Brisky, I don't think is long for the 26-man roster. I texted that to you. Something's going on with him, and there are reinforcements and replacements coming. people getting healthy. I'm not going to name names just yet because we'll do some of that in news and notes and nothing's been formalized. Yep. He's still part of the major league roster, but Bo Brisky all year has been somebody that has concerned me, and those concerns somewhat reared themselves over the last, let's say, 4 or 5 games. That being said, concerning the bullpen, I don't have concerns save number 4, Bo Brisky, and we need to really give kudos to Reese Olson. His changeup has almost become unhittable. Almost unhittable.
He's learning to pitch. He's learning to pitch, isn't he?
The future of this Tigers staff and bullpen looks so bright. And I know it's hard to predict bullpen year over year, but the way that AJ Hinch, he's just a mastermind pulling the proper levers and putting the high leverage guys in high leverage situations where he knows that they can succeed. And he does the same thing when someone's down on their luck, not pitching well, maybe doesn't have the best command. He puts them in low leverage situations to try to build them back up. Anyhow, it just didn't happen. You score one run.
Sort of baited you. I baited you with that question because I wanted to hear you talk about Brisky because I knew you had some concerns about him.
He hasn't pitched well. Yeah, and he walked 2 in that game. And, you know, the secret to the bullpen and the secret to the starters, not that it's a secret, is they don't. Why this Tigers team since August 1st last year is the best team in Major League Baseball, and they are the best team now. They've overtaken the Dodgers since that demarcation point, is their hitters take walks and take a lot of pitches, and their pitchers don't walk you. And that is the difference between this Tigers team and what happened previous to that. So that's for our listeners. With that, I would love to
play discipline and a plan of attack off the mound. Yeah,
absolutely.
So for game 3, Tigers did pull out the win, by the way, 3-2. They closed it out just a few minutes ago. What I'm seeing here, for the most part, you have McKinstry, Karp, Riley Green, Torque all having good games. Torque had all three RBIs, 2 for 4, double, 3 RBIs. Torque's doing some stuff without hitting home runs, is basically what that's telling me. Dingler, 3 for 4 today with a double. He is heating up. He's batting .286. I don't remember the last time we had a catcher batting .286. We probably have to go back to like Pudge or something. Akil Badu, 1 for 3.
Pudge.
I think you'd have to go back to Pudge, right? Akil Badu, 1 for 3 and 2 amazing defensive plays at the beginning of the game that kept runs from scoring, which is so important because we had Jackson Jobe on the mound. You have a young pitcher on the mound. He goes 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Another workmanlike effort from Jobe. He's a young pitcher. You got Badu keeping runs off the board early, keeping him clean for those first couple innings, which was key, I think, in this game. If the Blue Jays come out and score 2 to 3 runs in the first inning or 2, we could have seen a very different outing. Brebbia, Herder, Canley, Vest, bullpen was spot on today over the course of the final 3 innings. So, Bill, thoughts? Anything to take away from this?
If you had quizzed me before this series started and said, who's going to be your MVP of Sunday's win?
Yeah.
You would have had really long odds on Badu.
Yeah.
A couple facts about him, though. He won the game today because had that first inning gotten away, who knows what would have happened.
Yep.
Number 2, why he was brought up. We need to talk about this. He had 5 home runs in his last 36 at-bats at AAA.
He was crushing it.
Outstanding.
He was crushing
Torque, nothing, if I can move on to Torque, nothing short of amazing. His defense was excellent today as well. And I do want to throw a little bit of shade at the Rogers Center. It's 1 of 4 stadiums I haven't been to in MLB. They adjusted the walls and made them higher at certain points. And this is just for our listeners. Tune into a Blue Jays game, you know, because now the Tigers are done. Unless they meet in the playoffs, they will not be back in Toronto this season. That being said, do focus on this because it's really weird. It's uneven. It's irregular. And what could be a home run in many parks or even Rogers Center last year are now just bouncing off and being ground rule doubles. Yeah. And it affected both teams. And so this isn't me as a Tigers fan saying like, whoa, you know, that really cost us.
The Blue Jays may have gotten robbed on a couple too.
Well, they're getting robbed because they're going to play 81 games there this year, you know, more so than anybody else. So this is one from a baseball perspective. I'd love to keep a higher you know, or check back in on just to see if anything happens. With that, I was right on two things. I said Flaherty would have a rebound game, and I said they'd win 2 out of 3. You said 1 out of 3. So
I did.
I was close, but not quite, right? I look forward to my pizza flavored ice cream coming in the mail in my Labatt. So that'll be a riot, okay?
I'll give you my pizza flavored ice cream. I will
contact a friend of mine in the Montreal area and see if I can get a good poutine recipe for us to try to make at home. If we can get some fresh cheese curds, I'll have to drive up to the Mars Cheese Castle in Wisconsin.
I thought for a second you were going to say you were going to order poutine and have it flown. I was like, I don't think you can do that. If we have to have cheese curds within an hour, you can't go ordering it and having it shipped across the country frozen. At any rate, we got 2 out of 3. I'm happy with that. I'll take that all day, even if it wasn't pretty. And even if they were all 1-1 run games. None of those were gimmies. None of those. We didn't kill anyone. They didn't kill us. Like, it was just a close series all the way around. They have some talent. I just don't think they quite have the talent that we've got.
No. I think the bullpen and the starting pitching is going to differentiate this Tigers team from most of the American League going forward this year. So my only thought is, I'm sure you saw our guy, your favorite ex-Detroit Tiger starting pitcher, was signed the Chicago Cubs to a minor league contract.
Cubs social media is like, oh, it's always good to have another starting pitcher in the till. I was like, oh God, lol.
Okay, we need to tell the listeners who we're talking about.
Kenta Maeda was signed by the Cubs to a minor league deal.
Yes.
A minor league deal.
It doesn't really help the Tigers from a payroll standpoint or money off the books. A little bit will trade hands, but not much. But it tells me that the Cubs are in desperation mode after losing two of their starters, because I get he's a guy and an arm, but that is all he is at this point.
Maybe a change of scenery helps him. Who knows?
Maybe the friendly confines.
I don't wish ill will.
Maybe he wasn't a Coney dog guy.
It's like, I can't get rid of the guy. He's like herpes right now. All my teams I watch are signing Kenta Maeda. I don't understand what's going on. Anyhow.
No, I was going to make the joke that maybe he's a drag to the garden hot dog type of guy. And, you know, that was the big thing. He doesn't like chili, mustard, and onions. So I don't know. Or maybe he's a poutine guy and needs to go north of the border.
He may be a poutine guy. He's not getting his poutine. I don't know if I see him being a poutine guy.
I think he likes a really good Wagyu steak and good fresh fish. And, you know, like, he's the type of guy I'd love to go to a sake bar with.
He's probably maybe direct traffic there if you wanted him to.
It'd be great. Like, I bet he can order, you know, off a sushi menu.
He'd tell you
like
exactly which way to go.
Yeah. He knows like what the chef has that like the chef's not really telling everybody else about. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we found a good purpose for him, I guess, if he ever joins us on the pod.
Burgers and hot dogs for all we know. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. He hates fish.
Yeah. What if he hates raw fish? What then? We've stereotyped him on his eating.
I opened with Wagyu.
All right, Bill, I think we've covered it. I think we get the Cardinals next starting tomorrow. So brace yourself. We get a little NL Central.
Oh, it's going to be like 100 degrees there all 3 days, even if it's not.
I know.
I've never been any place that feels hotter.
We'll see what happens. The Cardinals are always an iffy one. We'll see what happens with them. I'm not making any predictions and losing any bets to you this time, though.
Oh, and I do have a food to talk about after the Cardinals series.
Bill's going
to
have food. He's got a cuisine tip for you for Busch Stadium.
I've got two St. Louis specialties.
Perfect.
It's a doubleheader. All right.
We'll talk to you guys.